and I are meant to be more than occasional Good Samaritans. Something can happen in the world and everybody wants to go rush out and stuff food banks full of things, or a disaster happens and everybody wants to send money to an organization to help go get stuff for somebody. But the idea is that we're to be every day looking for that one moment. This is what our assignments in life are now: to do good, to be light, to be hope, to ignite hope in people. We're always on duty, and you know, we're sent out like to a foreign country, and we're an ambassador. We're sitting in an embassy. Well, the embassy is our bodies, and we are embassies and ambassadors that go out and help take care of people. And we're ambassadors for Jesus and ministers of reconciliation. That doesn't mean we're all ordained ministers at all, you know, are holy ministers that wear collars and crosses and preach from a pulpit. No, a minister is someone who cares for the people. And in 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says that you are an ambassador of Christ and a minister to reconcile, to bring peace to stressful situations, to bring them back to a place of peace and rest. And you're drawing on a never-ending supply. There's always a supply when we lean upon the Lord and ask Him to give us strength to help others. And He gives us the wisdom what, how much we're to give, how much we're to help, or where we direct them to someone who can help them with that painful tooth. And of course, you're not sending them to a plumber. You're going to send them to what? An oral surgeon or a good dentist. But God's used you to be one who directs them to more help. You know, with God, compassion is never overrated. Just amazing. You know, those boys trapped in that cave had no way on their own of getting out of that dark and dangerous place unless someone carried them out. Now, they had oxygen masks strapped to their little faces, and they really had a difficulty getting those things on. They were the size of adults, so they had to double check and make special gaskets, just create, like right there on the site, they were working on ways to get these gaskets to seal so they didn't drown, and so that the oxygen levels were just right for these children. Imagine putting that thing on as a little one who's weakened and tired, and then being told, we're going to haul you out underwater. And then add to it this: these children were then themselves strapped to the bodies of these divers because these children couldn't swim. So they would guide them out, swim them out as much as they could, or walk them out. And they had to stop and rest every now and then and replenish along several staging areas. And they had to check their vitals and their health and emotional status of each boy. I understand that they did give them a little bit of a tranquilizer to calm them down, but not too much, because they had to keep their heart rate and their lungs all going so they could handle the oxygen coming at them. So this was intricate planning in a short amount of time, people who knew what to do, and there was no other way to get out. There was no, and the time crunch was optimum. They had to get them out now. And so sometimes, you know, journeys are intense and we need to stop and say, this is all a person can handle. As a mentor or the leader, one of the key things we have to be careful, and the word talks about not to drive the sheep too hard. A shepherd is never to drive the sheep too hard. And in Isaiah, it talks about he shall feed his flock like a shepherd and gently lead those that are with young. And sometimes we have to gently lead parents. We have to gently lead and feed people just as a shepherd, as people, shepherding God's people, not just as a pastor, but as a human. Sometimes there is a need for them to take a step back and just breathe. We got to move. We got to drive on. If you drive people too hard, it can create a darkness because they feel they need to perform or that they need to be rushed and they panic. And the idea is that we take gentle steps and we assess. We take gentle steps and we assess. And sometimes you can nudge people, say, yes, you can. Come on, you can do it. Because you know that you're the one strapping them to your body, carrying the burden of it. But there's times that you still have to say, it's time to stop and rest. I've done this before. They haven't. So it's really a key point that we have to stop and assess at times. You know, this was an intense journey, and it was absolutely foreign territory and outside of the boys' ability to rescue themselves. They had never done anything like this. Excuse me. It was trusting skilled and honorable men and women to guide them out of an unintentional life mistake. It was an unintentional event And we needed people to help them get back into light and back into safety. Don't we all need, sometimes we've made a mistake, we say something dumb, or in the moment we're not thinking, maybe we're sick or we're panicky and we get cranky, or we say something and someone else reads it a completely different way than we meant it. And this big chasm of relationship happens, and maybe you get judged harshly for it or cut off. Or maybe someone has something that's repeatedly wounding, repeatedly snarky, or controlling or hurtful. And someone finally says, I've had enough, and there's a severing in the relationship. You know, those are hard things to walk out. And it takes people to help reconcile, or it takes apologizing honestly. And it takes us being willing to say, I am present with you, listening to you in the moment right now. I'm not going to go digging up the stuff, but in the moment, I'm willing to work out to this point. And that's godly behavior. That ignites hope that maybe there can be a chance to bring things back online, back into relationship. You know, in closing, part one of this series called Leading People Out of Darkness, or leading people out of dark places, I'd like to once again, just before we close, share the profound words from Mr. Whitlock. And I encourage you to personally embrace these as your own checklist when God calls you, because he will, to help people out of dark places. Mr. Steve Whitlock, expert in underwater and undercave water rescue, made these statements on how do you help people out of dark places, or lead people out of dark places. When you are leading people out of dark places, reassure them with presence. They must know you are there. They must know that you are present in the moment with them, and they must trust you. I'd like to pray for those of you watching right now, and ask the Lord to help you have memories of what we talked about today, and that hope would be ignited in you again. Lord, I come to you, Heavenly Father, God Almighty, and I pray for those listening, those watching today, perhaps the one that is in a dark, dark place, they feel trapped in a cave. They just seem to constantly have turmoil or upset or loss, and they've done everything they know. And Lord, I'm asking you to help them be calm now and lead them. Help them ask for help in the right places. Put a thought in their mind of someone to go and see, a counselor, a pastoral counselor, a friend, a pastor, a trusted, integral, discreet individual. Lord, I pray for those that are feeling overwhelmed by world circumstances right now. I pray that you would be a light in this darkness, that you would bring peace and calm all their fears. Lord, your word says that Satan comes. He comes. He comes to rob us and to steal, to kill and to destroy. But just like you sent the Samaritan, you said that God sent his son that we might have life. You said, I am come. I am with you. I am Emmanuel. I came that you might have life, and I want you to have it to the fullest. Lord, we ask that. I ask that for the one that needs to hear that the darkness is not going to win, that help is on the way. I bless everyone listening, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would open their eyes to wisdom, open their ears to hear the cries of mankind asking for someone to help them out of the dark places. And I thank you, Father, that you are a kind and compassionate, merciful, good God that cares about each of us, and you care about us compassionately. Thank you, Father. I pray this in the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the greatest friend ever. Amen. And I would really covet the prayers of anyone watching. Would you just pray for me that I continue to do this and that I don't fight the technology part of it and have someone else help produce. Thank you so much, and God bless you today. Goodbye for now.